spend some time to really kind of stir our faith in specific areas during, you know, this summertime so that we come out on the back end of it experiencing what we declared at the beginning of the year, that 2022 is a year of miraculous interventions for your life and mine. Come on, I wish somebody had some faith in that right there. I said 2022 is a year of miraculous interventions for your life and mine. So remember this from God's word in Mark chapter 5. That woman had an issue of blood. She came unto Jesus and she receives full restoration in her body because she had gone to the doctors and she had done all these things and couldn't get better. But she goes to Jesus. She touched the hems of his garment. And she makes a withdrawal from Jesus. Now, here's a question we should ask ourselves right up front. When's the last time you made a withdrawal from Jesus? See, when you make a withdrawal, there's a miraculous shift. And that's what happened with this woman. She made a withdrawal from Jesus, and therefore there was a miraculous shift in her body, something that she dealt with for years, and that everybody said, you just got to learn how to live with. God said no, and her faith said no. I believe God has better for me. Jesus, you know, talked to his disciples, you know, in the context of things about what was going on. And then he addresses the woman. And I love what he says here to this woman because this is so appropriate for you and I today and every day. He says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering, your struggles are over. Man, I love that. Come on, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Well, listen, if her faith made her whole, what can your faith do for you? Notice what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say my faith, talking about himself. Jesus didn't say my power. He said it was your faith that connected with me that made you whole, that made you well. Says, so now go in peace, go in shalom. Your suffering is over. Come on, you want to put an end to your suffering? Bring yourself back over to a lifestyle of faith. Now, in Christian circles today, unfortunately, faith is something that is not, you know, very popular. As a matter of fact, you know, I listen to a lot of stuff, talk to various people and so forth, and there's a lot of criticism towards faith. I've heard individuals very schooled in the things of theology and the like, and I've heard very many individuals say things like this. There's nowhere in the Bible that it encourages us to live by faith. And I'm just like, what Bible could you be reading? But I've heard it, and I've heard it a lot, and it's a very popular sentiment that continues to grow. There's just like, you just accept whatever comes along. You can pray, but it may be the Lord's will that you're going through this. I'm so glad that woman didn't have that attitude. She was like, whatever. She went for hers and made a withdrawal. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 reminds us, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Come on, say it with me. The victory that overcomes everything is my faith. Come on, you got to be more passionate about this than what I'm seeing right now, what I'm sensing. I said, the victory that overcomes everything is my faith. So you got to build it up. In many ways, faith is like a muscle. And if you don't exercise it, you don't put some resistance to it, you don't train it, it does not function well for you. It's weak. It's small. It doesn't get the job done. It's not God's fault. Now, see, now this again is, you know, part of that kind of, you know, theology that is out there today that, well, so you're trying to say that it's the person's fault that this happened and it's the person's fault that that happened. Well, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say it's God's fault, huh? So hence you have this doctrine that, well, you know, God is in control. So whatever happened is because that's what he willed. Are you serious? I don't have time to go into all of that, but we'll be back to it, I'm sure. But I will say this, never lose sight of this. God's will is not automatic. God will get his end story accomplished, but his will His present will in your life, in mine, it's not automatic. You got to connect with this thing by faith. By faith. Absolutely you do. I know there's songs that say God's in control. Come on, I know there's a lot of, you know, popular opinion that, you know, well, God has the last word. Really? So watch this. So we're saying God's in control. So that means God is the one that was responsible or is responsible for COVID-19 and killing, you know, millions of people on the planet. Come on. Put your spiritual common sense on. All right, we'll be back. Remembering again that faith is that substance, that currency, that conviction that connects you and me to the promises of God. It's the shift point from just believing to believing and receiving. If we spend an eternity believing but never receiving, faith never got fully engaged. It's the shift point of believing, going into believing and receiving. And my prayer for each one of us today is that we would do more believing and receiving than ever before. Come on, what is it that you may be dealing with? Come on, what may be going on that you've been struggling with your child, you know, for years? What is it that maybe you've been struggling with in your body for years? Come on, let your faith rise. And let there be a shift, not only to believing, but now believing and receiving what God has in store for you. And the church said. Amen. Now, for faith to thrive, our identity must come alive in Christ. And I believe this basic element here is something that, why is it being, you know, missing in a lot of cases? That if our faith is going to thrive, our identity must come alive in Christ. And a critical step and exercise to our identity in Christ, watch this, is baptism. A critical step to our identity in Christ is baptism. Baptisms, and specifically water baptism, is a public ceremony pronouncing our deliverance, our union, and our transformation in Christ. That's what water baptism is. It's a public ceremony, and it pronounces now that I am now delivered, come on now, by Jesus. I am now in union with Jesus, and I am now actively being transformed by Jesus. It's a decision, it's a commitment, and it's a journey. And this is what water baptism symbolizes and reflects. Word of God in Romans chapter 10, you know, verse 17 talks about the fact that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you don't hear what God says in his word, you lose faith for it. Now, when I say you don't hear it, I'm not talking about that you just don't hear it, you know, preached. You got to hear it. You hear it from yourself studying. You hear it yourself, you know, meditating on it. But as you are spending time with it, that's how faith comes. But when you don't hear about it, maybe you don't hear it preached a lot, you're not really studying it, faith begins to diminish in that area. Well, I want to build your faith up right here. So here's where we're going to go for the next few minutes. This thing called the mark of greatness. Say it with me. I'm called to greatness. Tell that person next to you, say, so are you. Called to greatness, praise God. Call to greatness. So the mark of greatness, what is that all about? Especially as we're talking about water baptism. Well, let's look in Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. These were some of, not fully, not completely, but some of the final instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended back to heaven. And one of the things that he says here is like, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations this, and baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize comes from a Greek word, baptismo, which means to submerge, soak, drench, or place into. water baptism, you know, you could also look at it that it represents death, burial, and resurrection. Come on now. That you died to something. That you're buried now. And that you are resurrected unto new life. Let's look at that very quickly. When we talk about death, we're talking about we are willing to die to our plans, purposes, and pursuits. See, so when someone now is taking a step to be water baptized, they're actually saying, I die to my plans, my purposes, my pursuits. Watch this, my opinions. It says, I die to that. And I embrace now God's plans, his purpose, his pursuit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says this, for the love of Christ constrains us because we judge thus, that one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all that those who live, come on, someone say that's me, should no longer live to themselves, but to him who for their sakes died and rose again. Says now, the ones who are living right now, that's you and I. He says, you are to live life not based upon what you want, but what he desires. You know, always, teach this element when it comes to prayer. Prayer is not about getting what you want. It's about becoming what he needs. Prayer is a transformative vehicle. See, I don't even think this is a word, but you're going to catch it when I say it. We have selfishly applied and kind of immersed everything into this whole sense of it's got to please me. So we take the things of God and we look at it through that lens. So now prayer just simply becomes, how do I get what I want? And God says, well, there is an element of me responding to your request, but understand the real essence behind prayer is that you're becoming what I need. It's a transformative vehicle. We die. Water baptism, we die. It's a symbol of death. It's a symbol of burial. Burial is that we have now joined in company with an assimilation into Christ. Assimilation. Say that word with me, assimilation. See, when you assimilate into something, you begin to do things the way that those that are there did it before you showed up. So I have my wife and I, we have four kids. And so this summer, the two oldest ones, they're out working, working these different jobs. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. I'm charging them rent right now. No, I'm just joking. One working at Chick-fil-A, another one's working at BurgerFi. Now, here's what's going on. How do they start them coming into their business? Well, they don't just simply hire them and say, all right, here you go. Go cook some chicken, flip some burgers, and let's go. No. They have, several days of what is it called? Training. What is the purpose of training? To assimilate you into how we do things. Now, most people on planet Earth, we appreciate that Chick-fil-A way. My pleasure. Come on now. They bring you in, take you through orientation, and then they're teaching you particular things so that you assimilate into how they do. Well, when we say now, when we talk about water baptism, it's a symbol of death, it's a symbol of burial, where we are now assimilating into Christ. We are learning his ways and we are adjusting. BurgerFi and Chick-fil-A, they don't care what you know about cooking burgers and chicken. You cook it the way we say cook it. We told you to leave it in there for 3 minutes, you leave it in there for 3 minutes. Don't go telling me about why I think 5 minutes is needed. They're training you to do it a certain way and they are expecting for you to do it that way. And from their standpoint, we have a history of results of doing it this way. I got news for you. God in his kingdom has a history of results of doing it his way that is extremely productive. So who are you or who am I to try to change it? See, water baptism says, you know what? I assimilate now. I embrace the burial. And I'm coming in to be assimilated, to be fully trained so that I can do it God's way that is proven to win. The third symbol is resurrection. And that is that we have aroused and awakened to living life the way it was intended. And that is in union with God. Please understand that everything that you do, everything that I do, should always involve a communion with God. So whether that's at your job, and you are an accountant and you're crunching numbers and trying to keep proper bookkeeping, you do that in union with God. You don't do that separate. You don't do that just like, well, I have education in this, so watch this. I don't really need God. No, 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 no. With everything, we do it in union with God. This is the newness of life. And that's why you see here in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We reflect Jesus in what we say and what we do. Listen, there's a whole lot going on in our society today. A whole lot of uproar that's going on. So I get all of that. The mandate for you and I that will follow Christ is, okay, how do I assimilate into how he sees these things, how he approaches these things? That's our transformation point. Everything that comes up in society, how does God see this, and how do I shift into what he thinks and what he believes, how he approaches matters? That is the death, the burial, and resurrection of water baptism. So very quickly, let me go over these things. Why, who, when, and how water baptism should take place. The first is this. Why be baptized? I'm going to give you three reasons. Are you ready to say yes? Okay, that was two of you. The rest of you, are you ready to say yes? All right, there we go. Why be baptized? Matthew chapter 10, verse 32-33 says this. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. This is Jesus talking. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Well, the public acknowledgement of Jesus is not just simply standing and say, yes, I'm a Christian. The public acknowledgement of Jesus that he lays out and that Paul even reinforces, you know, later, is this thing called water baptism. So in real simple terms, why should someone be water baptized? Because Jesus said so. You know, some of you all are old enough to remember parenting that went this way. Mama told you, go clean up that room. And the child will respond, why? And what would the mama say? Because I told you so. And matter of fact, if you got a follow-up question, it's about to be on and popping in here. That was some parents. Come on now, y'all. Y'all remember that parenting? Because I told you so. Well, the very simple reason of why everyone should be water baptized, I said everyone, is because Jesus told us so. Now we can come back with why. And I'm gonna share some of that with you. I've already shared some of it. But the real issue is he told you so. And I remember, you know, as a child, if you did say why, you better not be in arm reach. You better make sure there was some distance between you, you know, and you know, Mrs. Dorothy L. Crawford. Yeah, that's right. I'll put you out there. You better have some distance. What you talking about? Why? Because I said so. Interesting. that for many of us, we had that kind of respect and reverence for our natural parents. How much more so for our spiritual parents, our Heavenly Father? Why be baptized? Because Jesus did. Okay. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. After his baptism, after Jesus got baptized. Think about it. What in the world does Jesus need to be baptized for? He's setting the example for all. It's not that like he needed it, like you and me. He sets an example for us. Says after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water. So this wasn't no sprinkling event. No, it wasn't none of that. No. He came up out of the water. The heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Oh, man, I love that. Come on. Listen to this. The Father is pleased with Jesus' decision, commitment, and journey which brought him to water baptism. He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But notice, he didn't say that when he was in the wilderness being tempted by the enemy. He didn't say it at other particular points. But in this moment of water baptism, the Father speaks up from heaven and says, "Now I'm pleased with this journey. I'm pleased with this decision, this commitment, and this journey that he's taken that's brought him to this place. That he's identifying with me." Why be baptized? Because water baptism is the way that heaven says we publicly identify with Jesus. It's not crosses around our neck. It's not bumper stickers. It's not, a tattoo of Jesus. You know, it's not fish, on our car. Those are great, but that's not now what publicly identifies with Christ. Jesus says, if you're going to publicly identify with me, then I expect for you to go to the water. I expect for you to have a moment in your life where you are willing to stand before everyone else and say, just like Jesus died and was buried, that's how I'm going down into this water. But just like Jesus rose from the dead, I'm rising up, not me again, but I'm rising up in him. So that's how you identify with me. That's the public recognition. Not some of the other cute things that we do. Come on now, just having your profile picture, with some praying hands on it, that's not identifying with Jesus. I mean, praise God for the praying hands and all of that. But Jesus says, I'm expecting water baptism. Yes, indeed. Baptism must be a personal decision for it to ignite a life-altering change. I like that. It's got to be a personal decision for it to ignite a life-altering change. In church, we've also kind of confuse things where a lot of times people will think that an altar call and coming up front in front of the church is the way to identify with Christ. And okay, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But if we just really want to be sticklers with Scripture as we should, you don't see that at all in Scripture. There's no order of that at all in Scripture. It's something that had developed in the church, in years past, and it's okay to do. But that's not a substitute for water baptism. As a matter of fact, I know, and I would say for myself, I probably gave more credence to that than someone being water baptized. Yeah, will you step and come forward into the front of the church? Well, praise God for that. But Jesus said, I want you to be baptized. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, this is where we have to make sure that we don't allow our traditions to then push away God's word. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Number two, who should be baptized? This is real simple. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, Peter said to them, each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized. Each one of who? Turn to that person next to you and say, that includes you too. Come on now. Each one. Peter is speaking to those that are there at the day of Pentecost. But I got news for you. This is a global expectation. From God's heart is, I wish that everyone would repent from their sins and be baptized. Everyone on the planet. Someone says, well, you know, does a Hindu need to do that? Does a Buddhist have to do that? Aren't they, you know, going towards God in their own way? Jesus says, I want everyone, or scripture here says, and Peter is saying it, I want everyone, each of you, to repent from your sin and to be water baptized. Now, I know there's a lot of, you know, pluralism and so forth where various religions and people will say, well, there's just, you know, multiple ways to God. Listen, let me be very, very simple and clear. No. No, there is not. No, there is not. And this is why God, you know, makes it clear in Acts chapter, you know, 4, says there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And what's that name? Come on now, what's that name? No other name. No other name. No other name. No other authority is what that is reflecting. So everyone should be baptized. When should you be baptized? That's a good question. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 says this, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. When they believed, they were baptized. When they believed, they were baptized. You don't get baptized before you believe. You believe first, and then you baptize. Repentance and belief come first, acknowledging Jesus as Lord, and then we are baptized. It's easy to mess up that order in our society today. I would dare say some probably are just like myself. I got water baptized when I was like 11, 12 years old in church. There's a particular church that we went to pretty regularly. Can't say we went every Sunday, but we went pretty regularly. And we had Sunday school. Anybody remember Sunday school? Come on now. Mm-hmm. So we had Sunday school. And after every Sunday school lesson, we all came together, all the Sunday school classes, you know, in a larger area. And if I can just be honest, as a kid, you know, they said something. I don't know what they were saying. But I knew this part right at the end. It was just like, so do any one of you want to join the church? And I can remember as an 11, 12-year-old child thinking, "What? Why do you keep doing this every single week? I come to the church all the time. What do you mean do I want to join it? I'm already here. Matter of fact, my mama up there serving right now is an usher. Come on now with the gloves hanging behind your back. You better know." And they would do that every week. And I guess, you know, I've been coming enough where they recognize you have not responded to this the way we desire. So they were like staying on me. So can I just be honest in the house of God? Thank you. I'm just going to do it anyway. I got absolutely tired of them. So finally one Sunday, I was like, yeah, yes, yes. Okay, yes. And they were like, oh, praise the Lord. I'm just like, what is wrong with these people? It's like, what are you talking about? I'm here. Yes, okay. And they were like, okay. So then all of a sudden, I didn't realize the transition. I had seen this before, but I didn't realize this was the transition point. They were just like, okay, now when service starts, they're going to bring you up. And they're going to ask you some questions. I was like, oh, that's how they get the. I just been seeing them people. Okay. So they brought me up, and I'd seen it enough to know, just say yes. All right, just whatever they ask you, is the sky orange? Yes. Come on. Huh? Do rabbits swim? Yes. Just whatever. Just say yes. That's it. I'm 11 years old, and they asked me a question. Yes. 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 And yes, and oh, the church gets excited. Folks are, oh, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. I just don't understand what's going on here. Now, what I'm explaining is I was set on motion to be water baptized, but trust me when I say I didn't believe anything. And then the last part they told me says, now next Sunday, this is what you need to bring because you're going to be water baptized in that pool right up there. I was like, y'all want me in the water? Oh, I had some issues. I had some issues with that. I didn't want to do that, but, you know, I'd already been out there publicly, you know, and my mom and dad was like, oh, you going? Oh, you going to be there? And I was like, oh, my goodness. So I got water baptized when I was 11, 12 years old. But again, I missed the order. See, in order for water baptism to be valid, it needs to happen in its proper sequence. First you believe, and then you're baptized. Well, I recognize I didn't believe. I mean, truth be told, it was just a fire insurance policy I was taking. Because I had heard, I was like, you know, they burn it in hell. You know, it's like, you know, you take Jesus, you don't go to hell. It's like, oh, Jesus, I don't need to burn. I don't want to burn. Come on, give me Jesus. It was a fire insurance policy. And some now years go by, and I have an encounter with Almighty God. September 18th, 1989, God steps into my room, changes everything about me from that point. Now, Jesus was no longer just this religious story, a religious figure, or a Sunday school story. He was alive and well, and he loved me. Changed everything. And as I began to grow in faith regarding water baptism and understanding and seeing your scripture, I recognized what I did at 11, 12 years old was just a religious activity. Nothing that was valid at all. So 24 years old, I get water baptized again. Because now I believed. So now let me publicly identify. I've been baptized again since then. I got baptized again. This one I just wanted to do because I wanted to, watch this, connect with Jesus. I was in Israel in 2017. And we were doing water baptisms in the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. So I was helping to baptize. We baptized like 100, you know, people that day. And it was Bishop Butler, myself, and particular pastor from Word of Faith Church in Toronto. So we're doing the baptism. You know, Bishop is leading it. I'm, you know, me and the other pastor in the water, and we're dunking the people. And then after we had done everybody else, I was like, hey, Bishop, hold on for a minute. Let me get in on this. It's like, man, I can't pass this up. I wanted to be water baptized again in that moment. You know, same river body of water that Jesus was baptized in. Hey, you know what? I mentioned this. Maybe I didn't mention it, but kind of Impact Nation as a whole. We're gonna take a trip to Israel next year. So if you're interested, I realize it's a little bit of a short notice. We had actually started planning this in like January of 2020, and it was meeting with and talking with Bishop Davis, and we were trying to set some things up. And then the pandemic happened, so everything stopped. And so we're just like, okay, now. But in looking at things now, going to still go forward with it. Because we had started then to plan it for 2023. So now we're here, you know, a little bit more than a year out. But there'll be information coming for you if you want to be in on that. And we're going to do some water baptisms there again. Amen. Yes, amen. Say it with me. First you believe, and then you're water baptized. Now listen. It shouldn't be a case that you believe and never get water baptized. It shouldn't be a case where you believe and you just take your time to be water baptized. It should be something that you make a commitment to do quickly in Jesus' name. Yeah, as soon as we are old enough to understand. When you understand this principle, then you understand why, for us, we don't baptize babies. I know I've had requests over the years, you know, well, you baptize, you know, my newborn. Well, no, because you first have to believe before you're baptized. Now, we do, you know, baby dedication. We dedicate, you know, children unto the Lord. But a child, a person needs to come to the place first where they understand what Jesus has done for them. They understand what water baptism is all about. They can articulate it in their own, you know, language. Now you're ready. Now, so there's no set age. It's really based upon the maturity of the child, the person. But everyone should be water baptized. I would also say this. Water baptism, what's the best way to say this, Lord? I want to say it nicely. All right, let me say it like that. Water baptism is not just something to do to get other people to leave you alone. So I said, just like what I confessed about how I was when I was 11, 12 years old, I got tired of them people messing with me. Come on now, there are some adults, you know, and you've been sweating your spouse or, you know, sweating your sister or brother. You know you need to get baptized. You know you need to get baptized. You know you need to get baptized. And you finally be like, yeah, all right, I'll do it, because I'm just tired of your mouth. That's not why you get baptized. You get baptized because first you believe, and then you take the steps to be baptized. Remember that baptism doesn't save us any more than a wedding ring makes us marry. But we shouldn't go too long without either one of them. Just keep that in mind. Lastly is this. How should you be baptized? Because there's been conflict in the church over this. Matthew 28:19 again says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, verse 5 says, as soon as they heard this, Paul was preaching to a group of individuals, says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, over the years, and specifically, it's something that's been kind of hot over the last 100 years in particular, of do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or do you just baptize in the name of Jesus only? And this really, you know, has its roots in this Trinitarian versus a oneness doctrine. Trinitarian, you know, doctrine just simply says this, that we serve one God who manifests himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, oneness doctrine or theology says, no, we don't agree with that because that seems like that's three gods. So we say, the Father, Son, or the Father and the Holy Spirit are all in Jesus. Jesus is all of it. So therefore, they started to baptize in the name of Jesus only because they felt like this is the only way to really ascribe to Jesus the divinity that he is really due. So it's really more of a doctrinal issue that kind of started to rise in the church that started making the church now conflict. But I got news for you. This is not something that we should allow to become division within the body of Christ. So the formula that we've applied since the inception of this church and before is that we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Yeah. That's how we do it. We just kind of cover all the bases based upon those two passages of scripture. Now, for individuals that have a kind of a oneness theology, they'll still find issue with that, but there's not much we can do about that. So that's how we baptize. It's a matter of full submersion. Our first Wednesday in Jacksonville in September, as we mentioned, we're going to be doing water baptism. So myself, Bishop Davis, we're going to be doing the baptism. So I would encourage you, get in on it. If you haven't been water baptized, number one, make the trip with us for that first Wednesday. And two, register now for water baptism. As a matter of fact, I believe they have info they can bring up on the screen so where you can just go to the Eventbrite, you know, our Eventbrite, and you can just register for it. That's free so that we can know, so we can prepare for you. My two youngest sons, you know, they're going to be baptized, you know, on that night. Our two oldest children have already been, you know, water baptized. Amen. Praise God. It's a tremendous event that we do not want to take, you know, lightly. So you have an opportunity. Please go out there. You can pull out your phone now. This is the only time you can pull out your phone and, you know, start doing something. But you can go ahead and register for that now. So we end with this. Have you received the mark since you believed? Have you received the mark of greatness? Have you received the mark of family with God? Have you received the mark of Christianity since you believe? For our faith to thrive, our identity must come alive in Christ. And baptism is that mark, the mark that we belong to Christ. That's where our identity starts. And we make this public profession. I'm yours, Lord. So lift up two hands unto heaven with me right here. Let's make this confession and this declaration unto God today. Father, I'm yours. Thank you for laying everything down for me. I commit to publicly acknowledge who you are. I'll do it vocally. I'll do it with my life, but I'll also do it with the formula that you laid out of being water baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise for that today. Listen, my heart today is to, again, stir your faith in the significance and the importance of water baptism and what it accomplishes. And I hope that you take this extremely serious. Because if you remember the opening verse that we started with, Jesus says, when you publicly acknowledge me, I'll acknowledge you. When you don't, then I don't. This is very, very serious. So if you are watching or if you are present and you've never come to the believing point of recognizing that, yeah, I'm here now to make a commitment to Jesus. I'm here now to dedicate my life to Jesus. I'm here now to go on a journey with Jesus. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you today. God has an awesome, phenomenal, and tremendous plan in store for your life, but he needs your submission. He needs your surrender. So if you've never just said a wholehearted yes unto Almighty God, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you today. So our heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, even at home too. Do this with me, whether you're present or whether you're at home, you know, watching. If you desire my prayers so that you can step into the family of God, let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven right there where you are this morning. And I'll be glad to pray for you. I'll be glad to pray with you. Come on, even right there at home. Yeah, that's right. I can't see you, but your good, good Father can. Just as an act of faith. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. So now watch this. We're going to pray something together. So everyone, if you would, lift up two hands unto heaven with me again. Say this out loud. Father, I thank you again for your son Jesus, who you gave for me, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, and as my king. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your plan for my life. Thank you for making me your own. Amen and amen. Come on, somebody just rejoice. We'll be right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, I say rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And listen, now if you prayed that prayer with us out of the sincerity of your heart for the very first time, I want you to do something for me. Number one is I'd love for you to just to text the word decided to the number that you see come up on the screen. Or you can also just type it into the chat so that we know. Because we just want to simply rejoice with you. We want to pray for you. And then we're going to send you a link to a devotional called A Fresh Start. so that you can begin today taking the steps, watch this, to just live in the new life with Almighty God. And then I would also encourage you, just like what I'm stressing on today, register to get water baptized. It is very, very significant and important. If you're present and you'd like to get a hold of one of those devotionals, we have some printed copies. So as you are exiting, we'll be glad to put one into your hands as well. God is good. His love is amazing. Jesus is Lord. And you can't be stopped. Somebody say, I receive that.